We'll have a quick class just introducing Machon Meir a little bit and our month of Elul. Tonight is Rosh Chodesh Elul. It's the first of the month of Elul. So we had Yalev Yovo, as you all know, in Ritzei in Davening, and we had Yalev Yovo in Benching. And when we say the Bracha Main Sholosh, after we've eaten something made of wheat, cake or cookies, or drank grape juice or wine, so we say v'zochreinu l'tova b'yom Rosh HaChodesh Hazeh, and the blessing Me'in Shalosh ala Michya. Being that we're all starting out here, Baruch Hashem, most of the class is new guys, so welcome. It's refreshing to see new faces. Welcome to Machon Meir, welcome to Israel. I hope you guys have a good state. My name is Netan Frankenthal. I live pretty much up the block. Slowly but surely you'll all hopefully be by us for Shabbos meals, and you'll get to know where we live at the end of class. I'll take everyone's address. We have on Sunday nights, we have, I'll take your cell phone numbers and your email addresses. My home phone number, those of you who have pen and paper, you could write it down. My home phone number is 02-653-6447. And my email address is 653-6447, the phone number, @gmail.com. So that's an easy way to remember it. You guys are all welcome to stay in touch. Even those of you who are here for a day, sometimes we have guys who come for a day and stay in touch for years. We have people like that too. So we have two classes on Sunday night. One is Navi. We try to cover ground quickly in our Navi class. We try to average about 5 chapters a night. And we try to cover all of prophets within a year. Those of you who attend class for a year should cover all of prophets. Our goal is to get a handle on the story. Those of you who wish can follow with the text. I try to stick to the text, but I don't read the text. Our goal is to cover ground. When you enter Machon Meir, so hopefully you have some goals for yourself, and some of the goals you'll clarify as you stay here. And there are two aspects to our learning. There's learning that gives us tools, and there's learning that gives us knowledge. The tools will give us the ability to gain knowledge in the future. You learn Aleph Beis, you learn how to read, you're gaining tools. Once you have those tools, you'll be able to read and learn in the future. You learn Hebrew, you're gaining tools. You come to the Navi class and we cover 5 chapters, I'm not giving you tools in these 5 chapters. I'm giving you knowledge. So many of our classes, my classes specifically, are focused on giving knowledge. I figure the rest of the day you're focused on getting tools. You're doing Ulpan, you're doing your classes in the morning. Some of the classes focus on knowledge, some of the classes focus on tools. My goal in the evening classes is to give you as much knowledge as possible in the time that we have. I'm not here to give you tools. I'm telling you that straight out. That you're supposed to get in other classes. But I am here to give you as much information as possible. I recommend you take notes. The learning is very easy, as you will see. We try to make things as simple and as clear as possible. And it seems like, yeah, I got that. That was easy. But go ask someone today what we learned a year ago. The guys that were here a year. It's very difficult to remember. And when you hear it, it sounds very easy. But to retain it a year later is very difficult. And one day you're all going to be parents, Bezrat Hashem, sitting with your own children. Amen. And you're going to want to be able to learn with them the material. Amen. Now it's easy. Take the time and write notes. I strongly recommend you take time to review. The Gemara says, he who learns and does not review is like someone who plants but doesn't take the time to harvest what he's planted. If you take time every night, a half hour, to review what you've learned in the day. Take time at the end of the week, Thursday afternoon, Thursday evening, Friday night, Shabbos, to review what you've learned. You will master what you've learned. And that will give you ability to move forward. Most people don't do what I'm telling you and they grow anyways, but they grow much less. It's up to you how much you're going to grow. Machon Meir is very easy, very laid back. You're expected to come to classes, but no, most classes don't have tests. And the goal of Machon Meir is to let each person grow at his own pace. But to an extent, that's a double-edged sword. On the one hand, you're given the ability to grow at your own pace. But on the other hand, that means that you're going to have to be your own catalyst. You're going to have to decide, am I going to push myself? Am I going to take notes? Am I going to show up on time to classes? Am I going to review what I've learned? If guys want it, then we can have tests. We can have voluntary tests that guys take at the end of the week, at the end of the month. I try to stop every month and review what we've done that month. At the end of the semesters, we try to have reviews. But at the end of the day, nothing can come close to your own review. You're taking time at the end of each day, at the end of each week, at the end of each month, to do your own reviews. It's up to you. Now, there are two levels where one can work when one comes into Machon Meir. A person can say, well, there's a whole Torah out there. Let me learn everything. Let me know everything. And he could cover a lot of knowledge. It's important. We have to get knowledge. But we have to know that no less important than the knowledge is our connection to what we're learning. A person can learn everything and it could remain a theoretical religion and he'll know all the laws and he'll be able to write books and he'll be able to be a professor in Judaism. But that's not our goal here at Machon Meir. We're not looking to make professors of Judaism. We're looking to have students who understand, who grow, who enjoy their learning, who connect with their learning. And connecting with the learning is on a different plane. It's not the same thing as information. You go to a college course, it's very easy. You learn, you know the material. Okay, you know it. Good. Here we're talking about a different plane. We're talking about a way of life. And the question of how much we're going to adhere to what we learn, how much we're going to perform the mitzvot, is really a question that goes hand in hand with the question, how much do I connect? And that's each person's own challenge. It's a lifelong challenge. At every stage in our life, we have this challenge, and it's something that we work on. I work on, you work on, everyone works on throughout our lives. Part of connecting is doing things that we enjoy in Torah. So I want you guys to pay attention to which classes you enjoy more and which classes you enjoy less. And give me feedback. Like I said in the beginning of the previous class, these classes are formulated based upon the feedback that we received previous years. Every year we alter the classes to fit the guys that are there that year. So I'm waiting for your feedback. Tell me in a week or two, I'd like more of this, less of that. According to what you're telling, that's how we'll do it. There was one year where the guys voted to learn the Navi with the text as I translated verse by verse. So we did that. That's what the guys wanted. So we went much slower. We didn't cover all prophets. But that's what the guys wanted. So that's what we did. Now, things are very flexible, but I got to hear back from you. It is recommended that you find a Rebbe that you feel close to or you feel you can connect with and try to connect to them. Walk them home when they leave the Machon. Set up a time to meet them when they're coming to the Machon. Try to get time with them on a one-on-one basis. On the one hand, be considerate. When a Rebbe finishes teaching here, he still has other things to do, so don't hold him up too much time. But on the other hand, you should try to take advantage, try to get to know the rabbis here and see the ones you feel close to or you feel you could be close to. Take advantage. That's what you're here for. You're here to take advantage. Take advantage. With care. Why not? The Gemara tells us that in our book of Devarim, we're reading the book of Devarim now, Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Jewish people, it's been 40 years and you guys still don't understand. Our sages say, we learn from this verse, that it can take a person 40 years to understand the depth of what his Rebbe teaches him. Sometimes when we enter an institution or a class, we feel like, that makes sense. That doesn't make sense. He knows what he's talking about that. He's way off on that. We feel like we can judge things the first second we walked in. Okay, you're entitled to judge, but you should know that sometimes the question is the eye of the beholder. Sometimes it takes years in order to understand and appreciate what's being said. It's recommended. You walked into a place. There's a lot that's being taught here. Listen, take your time before you judge. See what's going on here. There was once, I'm a mohel. I do circumcisions. So there's one circumcision that I wasn't performing, but another mohel was performing the circumcision. And he was a timid guy. He was a gentle guy. But he was a mohel. And a person in the audience was, he worked on an ambulance. And he knew his stuff medically, but he didn't know his stuff that well when it came to Bris Mila. So they're standing there, and the Moel prepares the baby, and they make the blessings, and the Moel cuts, and suddenly, whoosh, a shot of blood shoots out. So they see he cut an artery, and this guy who's a paramedic, he runs out from the crowd, grabs the child, holds the artery closed, he's holding down, and he says, "This boy's with us, we're going to the hospital now." Now, in essence, as a mohel, you know how to close an artery. If it happens to be that the way the child's built, that is that you hit, that there's too much bleeding, so we know how to close it. But this mohel was timid, and he didn't say anything. And this paramedic takes over the case, grabs the child, he's holding him, he's clamping the artery shut, and he brings him to his car, and they drive off to the hospital. And they walk into the hospital, and the doctor who's going to stop the bleeding was a doctor who didn't like Jewish tradition. So he says, all those stupid Jews, they're at it again. So he didn't know that the paramedic was an Orthodox Jew as well. So the guy, I don't remember if it was in Israel or in America. I don't remember where the story happened. So the paramedic tells him, close your mouth and do your work. This tradition is much older than you are. And the guy closed the child up, and it takes all of 2 minutes, and they brought the kid back to the parents, and they lived happily ever after. But that line stuck with me, that the paramedic tells him, close your mouth, do your work, and remember this tradition is much older than you are. So we're here, we're studying things that are much older than we are. There are things that we'll understand, there are things that we'll have questions about, and everyone's invited to question, and every question is acceptable. And as we mentioned in our previous class, we have a special night, Thursday night, where there's open session, you could ask anything you want. Sometimes I'll tell you, save the question, write it down for Thursday night, we'll try to deal with it then. Sometimes questions deserve their own class, and we'll do that too. Sometimes guys ask a question, and we say, wait a second, that deserves its own class. We'll have a special class dealing just with that question. But every question is invited. We just, when we approach things, we should have a little bit of respect. We're dealing with something that that's still much older than we are, and there's a lot to learn, and we'll hopefully get to a lot of it. Yeah. So the halacha is that at night, on Rosh Chodesh by night, being that we don't institute Rosh Chodesh at night, the rabbis would only convene in the court to make Rosh Chodesh by daytime. So we're not mekadesh the Chodesh at night, and as such, if one forgot Yalev Yovo and Shmon Esri by night, so he does not repeat the Shmon Esri. Okay. So that's a discussion. Do we add it exactly there, or do we say it's gone, it's gone? Either way, now that's over, it's over. We say in Shir HaMaalos, before we start benching, so we have a custom to say a verse from Tehillim, a chapter from Tehillim, discussing the fact that we no longer have the temple. And on Shabbos we say Shir HaMaalos, and during weekdays we say Al Naros Bavel. And one of the things we say there is Urei B'Tuv Yerushalayim. We say we should merit to see the good of Jerusalem. No, it's not in Shir HaMaalos. It's not there, Urei B'Tuv Yerushalayim. But the verse says Urei B'Tuv Yerushalayim. You should see the good of Jerusalem. You guys are all new here to Jerusalem. Most of you are new here. Welcome to Jerusalem. There are always sites that we enjoy more and sites that are difficult to see. But we have to know to look at things with a good eye. You know, when a parent's child brings him a scribble, so the parent says, oh, you put so many colors together, that's so nice, and you drew straight lines. When it's something that we care about, we know to see the good in it. When it's something that we don't care for, if it's someone else's child that drew the scribble, so you say, what are you getting so excited about? You scribble. So we always have to be able to look at things with a good eye. And that's true also in our learning. Part of what's going to define our mood and how much we enjoy our learning is, are we looking at it positively or not? And one of our hopes is that we will look at it positively. More often than not, the challenge that faces people who come to Machon Meir is the exact opposite. That people want to conquer everything in a day. They figure, okay, I'm going to work now, I'm not going to sleep, I came to learn, I'm going to get the most out of this day, this week, this year, however much time I have here, and they put all their strength into it, and then after 2 days they collapse. And after 2 days they're very disappointed because they didn't cover the whole Tanakh and the whole Mishnayos and the whole Gemara. What's going on? I thought I'd get it all. So our sages taught us a rule. Tafasta merube lo tafasta. If you try to get too much, you won't get anything. So on the one hand, we should really get the maximum out of the time that we have here. On the other hand, we have to remember that it's better to be steady and to take amounts that we could review and amounts that we can conquer than to try and get everything and we lose, and we don't get anything in that. It's important to get good sleep. One of the biggest challenges that guys have in Machon Meir is getting to bed on time. Every year we have the same thing. If you want to look at the point that the world revolves around when it comes to learning Torah, it's the question of when you went to sleep. If you get normal sleep, you're going to have to learn well. If you sleep well, you eat well, you learn when you're supposed to learn, you will advance. If you try to learn every free minute and you don't get to bed till 2 o'clock in the morning, well, at some point you won't get up on time for davening, you won't get up on time for morning learning, you've lost. You gain more if you can maintain a steady schedule. So, tafasta merubeh lo tafasta. You try to get too much, you won't get anything. So, try to balance your growth and grow. Grow. This is a place where people grow. People build their lives here. The goal of Machon Meir is that you move forward. You get everything you can on Machon Meir and move on. This isn't a place where you're supposed to stay. You're supposed to be connected. But move forward. Get everything you can out of the place and keep moving. So you have a lot of people take advantage of Baruch Hashem. There are many different Rebbeim in the Machon. Each one has his own take on things, and each one has their strengths. And you'll see already. You can feel free to come to and talk to anyone. Each one, depending on their personality, will connect with different people and take advantage of whichever ones you can. Now we're going to move on to the month of Elul a little bit. When Avraham Avinu, Abraham, lost his wife, so he eulogized her. And when Avraham eulogized Sarah, when Abraham gave his hesped for Sarah, so hesped is eulogy. So, according to one medrash, he said the chapter of Eishes Chayil. Every Friday night we sing Eishes Chayil. That's the last chapter in the book of Mishlei, the book of Proverbs, is Eishes Chayil. And according to one medrash, that chapter was composed by Avraham as a eulogy for Sarah. And in that chapter we say, Sheker Hachen. Chen, to find favor, is really a lie. Sometimes a beautiful girl, Chen, Rav Shechter pointed out, is when something is not that way. Gemara says there are three types of Chen. There's Chen Ishal Baala. A woman has Chen in her husband's eyes. A husband can say, you know, my wife is the most beautiful woman in the world. And the other guys there are holding back their laughter. But in his eyes, she's a beauty. The Gemara says there are three blessings in the world. God made three things find favor in people's eyes, that they have chen in the person's eyes. A woman in the eyes of her husband, a place in the eyes of the people who live there. Sometimes you visit people and they start showing you around town. They say, look, isn't this beautiful? Isn't that gorgeous? Isn't this great? And you're looking like, huh? Someone once said, when you visit London, you don't have to open the radio to hear the weather report. So you talk to Londoners, they tell you, what do you mean? There's this kind of London fog and that kind of London fog, and every day is beautiful here and it's gorgeous. Okay, to people from a certain place, like Gemara says about Jericho. Jericho had a problem at that time that the people were dropping dead from drinking the water. So they tell the prophet Elijah, they tell Elisha, they tell him, you know, we have this problem. The water isn't good. People are dropping dead all around us. But it's a beautiful place to live in. So the Gemara says, what's beautiful? The water's bad. The people are dropping dead. What are they telling you? It's a beautiful place. Oh, so Chazal say that's the second type of chen. That God makes a place have chen in the eyes of the people who live there. When you live in a place, you like it. Ask my parents about my apartment. I always say, it's great. They come in and they say, you live here? You guys haven't been there yet. You'll probably agree with my parents. But I love the apartment. And the third thing that the Chazal tells us is about a job. That a job, when a person sticks to a job, so very often he likes the job, and he tells anyone else about the job, they can't understand what he likes about it. So there are three types of chen. So chen is to find favor. We say, sheker ha-chen. Chen is really a lie. The hevel ha-yofi, I'll get to you in just a second, and beauty is really, it's not worth something, bottom line. Isha yirat Hashem hi titalal. When a woman is a God-fearing woman, then you could praise her with the fact that she has beauty and chen. Then those things are assets. But on their own, chen and yofi, what are they worth? A person can't say, I got this on my own. No, it's inborn. The Gemara tells us that there's a malach that's responsible for pregnancy. His name is Laila. Laila. Night is Laila. Laila is the angel that's responsible for pregnancy. The verse in Job says, "Ve'laila amar hora gover," And the angel Laila says, oh, a man's just impregnated a woman. This angel, he's responsible. When a woman becomes pregnant, he takes a drop of the fetus, he brings it up before the heavenly throne, and he says, tell me, what's going to be with this person? Is he going to be wealthy? Is he going to be poor? Is he going to be wise? Is he going to be stupid? Is he going to be powerful? Is he going to be weak? What's going to be with this? And everything in heaven, the fetus is just beginning to form. In heaven, they already declare everything. Everything is signed and sealed. And you'll speak to an honest, wealthy person who'll tell you that being wealthy has more to do with luck than brains. A lot of people have brains and they're not wealthy. The smartest people in the world are not necessarily wealthy. It has a lot more to do with luck than brains. So in heaven, it's decreed before a person is born whether he's going to be wealthy, poor, wise, stupid, strong, weak. All the things that are beyond our control. I can't control what my IQ is. I could work to try and hone it, develop it, but to a certain extent I'm limited. One thing it doesn't say. It doesn't say whether a person is going to be a God-fearing person. That is not defined in heaven. That's left to us. That's what we're here for. We're going to define what we're going to do with what we're given. If I'm given strength, if I'm given weakness, if I'm given wealth, if I'm given poverty, whatever I'm given tools to work with. And the question is, what am I going to do with the time I'm given on this earth? So that's Yirat Hashem, being God-fearing. That's why when we speak about a woman, so we say, Avram, in his praise for Sarah, Sarah was beautiful. Sarah had a lot of things. But Avram said, she's only praised for her beauty if she's used that to be a God-fearing person. When she's a God-fearing person, then I could praise her even for her beauty and her chayin and everything else. These are assets when they're used correctly. Yeah?
So you talked about there's three kinds of chayin in the world, right? So what about, you didn't, I would have thought you'd say one of them would be a parent and his child, and he's a child. Wouldn't that be an obvious...
It's an interesting question. We have to check. I quoted a Gemara. It's not my own thought.
Yeah.
We have to check. We have to check. We have to check what Chazal say about that. We have to check. It's a good question. We have to see. I would venture my own answer, but I don't want to go on a tangent. If you remind me Thursday night, I'll tell you what I think might be the answer to it. But we should really look it up. So we're entering the month of Elul, and on the one hand, we have to learn the mitzvot. We can't perform without learning the mitzvot. That's what we're doing here. We have to learn what the laws of the Torah are. If a person doesn't know, he's not allowed to shave with a razor, so he won't keep the mitzvah. It says, biblically prohibited to shave with a razor. If a person doesn't know that he has to leave peyot, that when you shave with a hair-cutting machine, you have to leave a certain amount that you could hold between your fingers up here by the corners of your head, going down by the diagonal from the temple down to the back of the ear. So a person won't know that, so he won't keep that mitzvah. It's not his fault. So we have to learn. That's what we're here for. We're learning the mitzvot. So there are no mitzvot. We'll be able to perform them. A person doesn't know he has to wear tefillin every morning, so he's not wearing tefillin every morning. He doesn't know he's supposed to wear tzitzis, so he's not wearing tzitzis. When a person learns the mitzvot, then he can perform them. But at the root of all performance is how much do we connect? How much Yirat Shamayim do we have? How much do we have the Oak of Heaven upon us? So what we should think about as we enter the month of Elul, part of Tshuva is looking forward and saying, I'm going to correct things. I'm going to make this year the best year of my life. I'm going to move forward. Part of it is also thinking during this month, how am I going to connect more? How am I going to develop the Yirat Shamayim? And this leads us right into our class in Navi, because in essence, the Nevi'im, the prophecies that they gave us, have meaning for generation.